They had put a long gash on the inner cushioned wall in the process. Now that was being repaired. Civilians. At least this experience gave the lie to a little of Vidian's legend, she thought. If Calcaron Depot was supposed to be the domain of the man who saw everything and kept everything moving, he was sleeping on the job. There'd been no sign of trouble otherwise. Aware that the bomber from Gorse might be among the workers drafted to load explosives, she'd accepted a pistol and holster from the stormtroopers. It hadn't been necessary. Neither had any of the workers tripped to what they were really assisting in, the possible destruction of their own homes. That, she thought, could get ugly. Her comlink beeped. She reached for it. Sloane.
Captain?
Droned a familiar voice.
Count Vidian, she said briskly. The loading is almost complete. We'll be ready to return to Gorse shortly.
I need you. Report to my executive chambers alone.
Sloane's brow wrinkled.
Is it something about the report to the Emperor?
You could say that. Come at once.
Yes, my lord.
She snapped off the comlink. She was growing tired of being at Vidian's beck and call, but Ultimatum's regular captain could show up to reclaim his command at any moment, sending her back to the waiting list with everyone else. She had to do as told. She passed a lieutenant as she marched toward a waiting tramcar.
Tell Commander Chamas to monitor the loading, she said. I'll be back shortly.
Vidian's antechamber was lavishly appointed, but the workplace's occupants seemed oblivious to their surroundings. Two dozen men and women of various species, all enhanced with cybernetic computer implants, wandered the opulent room like monastics, nodding as if listening to music. Not one noticed Sloane's arrival. Each was tuned in to events many systems away, all managing the flow of goods and services vital to the functioning of the Empire in Vidian's managerial domain. Sloane wondered if anybody had ever walked into an open elevator shaft while his or her mind was on moving widgets from War Tandel. Identifying herself to the stormtrooper standing guard, she entered a long hallway. The double doors at the end opened as she reached them. The room beyond lay in darkness. Sloane rolled her eyes.
More weirdness.
Taking a deep breath, she took a step inside.
Count Vidian?
Another step, and the doors behind her clanged loudly shut. Sloane heard movement in the dark. She reached for her sidearm, only to feel pain in her wrist as someone kicked the blaster from her hands. The weapon clattered off in the dark. A lithe, shadowy figure whisked by to her right. Her assailant. The captain reached again, this time for her comlink, when someone grabbed her arms tightly from behind, spun her around, and shoved. Sloane didn't hit the floor, or anything else. She heard the hum in the air above, felt the strong pull of an invisible force holding her body in place. It was a stasis field, like the ones in her brig. The person who had pushed her walked ahead in the dark before turning and shining a bright portable light in her face.
Captain Sloane?
It was Vidian's voice, coming from the direction of the light.
Count Vidian? What's going on?
The light shifted, and Sloane saw that while Vidian's voice had indeed spoken to her, the man himself was strapped to a table, motionless. The light traced slowly across the Count's form. There was a dark recess in his neck ring where his electronic speaker belonged.
Glad you got my message.
This time, Sloane realized the voice was coming from the person with the portable light. And squinting, she could just make out the figure pressing something against his own neck.
Nifty little doodad. Triggered by the throat muscles.
You impersonated him.
And well,
the speaker said, still using the device. His light shifted back toward Vidian, and the speaker turned his back to her.
Get this hooked back up, she heard him say to someone in a different, softer voice.
Someone else in the room shuffled toward the table. Sloane strained to see, to move, to do anything.
"Release us now,"
she said in her most commanding tone.
"You won't get away with this."
No answer.
"The Count had better be alive and unharmed, or you'll have a death mark in every system in the galaxy."
Still, no answer. Sloane grew concerned. Fanatics like the bomber on Gorse might not care about getting away. After a short silence, she decided on another tactic.
"Look," she said more calmly, "I can get your grievances a hearing. But that'll only happen if you let me and the Count walk out of here right now."
The figure with the light directed it at her again.
"Aw, don't go so soon. This is our first date."
She recognized that voice. Gawking, she said,
"You're the mouthy pilot."
He moved the light underneath his chin and flashed a devilish smile.
"Nice to be remembered."
Sloane was flabbergasted.
"We checked your badge back on Gorse. Kanan something."
"Kanan something will do."
He shone the light on her again. She put the pieces together.
"A pilot at Moonglow. That's how you got here."
She glared into the light.
"You've wandered off the tour, mister."
"I had to see you,"
he said, voice sugary.
"You missed me, right?"
"Kanan,"
came a loud whisper from the shadows. Sloane's eyes darted to the speaker.
"Ah, the co-worker."
She was the person who'd kicked at her, she realized. And there were other shadowy figures in the darkness, including a slender person at the table fiddling with Vidian's vocoder.
"Did you all come with him? Your accomplices. What did he ask you to do?"
"Forget about them," Kanan said. "Haven't you figured it out? I am an infiltrator, but on a mission you'll approve of. I serve the Emperor."
He paused before adding,
"Directly."
Sloane stared down at Kanan for several seconds. Then she burst into laughter.
"You, an agent of the Emperor?"
"What?"
Kanan scowled.
"It's possible."
Sloane struggled to stop laughing.
"I think he can do better than you. What do you suicide flyers do? Drink your way from port to port? Did you wander off from your keeper?"
Kanan thumped his chest.
"I'm a man with a mission."
"You're an oaf with a delusion. Do you know what the penalty for impersonating a personal agent of the Emperor is?"
"No."
"A personal agent of the Emperor would."
"You're wrong. There is no penalty, because nobody would ever do such a thing."
Kanan sat the lamp on the floor, angled to point up at Sloane. He walked to a control panel near where she was suspended and touched a dial.
"Now listen to what's going to happen. I'm going to give you my message and be on my way. The stasis field's timer will release you with enough time to do what you need to do before Vidian wakes up. Is that understood?"
"Let me tell you what will happen instead," Sloane said. "You'll let me down, turn on these lights, release Vidian, and then we'll march you down to the detention block. You can do your talking to an interrogator droid."
"That would be a mistake."
Kanan began pacing around the darkened room.
"I have information that's vital to you, and to the Emperor."
"If you're the Emperor's agent, you're already reporting to him directly. What do you want from me?"
"Vidian controls all communications from this depot. I can't afford to have this intercepted. I need an Imperial captain with her own resources."
He looked at her cannily.
"You are resourceful, aren't you?"
"I can tell when I'm being played."
She strained against the stasis beam.
"Enough of this. Someone is going to come looking for me."
"Then I'd better talk fast," Kanan said. "And you'd better listen, like your life depends on it."
Chapter 46. back in his hazmat suit, Kanan heaved another Baradium 357 canister off the hover cart and onto a shelving unit in expedient.
The seed's planted.
Through her mask, Zeluna looked at him.
That was both the most exciting thing I've ever done in my life and the most exhausting. What do we do now?
He locked the cylinder into a magnetic support.
Ditch these forever,
Kanan said, peeling off his hazmat mask and throwing it to the deck. Once the canisters were secured, the bulky protective wear could be dispensed with. As Zeluna pulled off her mask, Kanan saw that the Sulliston woman looked winded.
I meant, what if what you did doesn't work?
She asked.
With the captain back there.
Don't worry, it'll work, Kanan said, climbing out of his suit. Sloan was sold. I could tell.
You could you?
Once the airlock door sealed behind her, Hera removed her mask and frowned.
Sloan thought you were cracked.
Kanan waved dismissively.
Skelly is cracked. I sounded like a responsible adult.
Who wanted to buy her a drink. That charm thing of yours is not for every situation, Kanan.
Hera hustled past him and slid into the pilot's seat.
See to Skelly.
Skelly, face down where he'd collapsed on the acceleration couch, feebly tried to peel off his hood with his one working hand. He finally succeeded when Kanan gave the mask a yank. The man looked rough. They'd had to load the explosives and make their way back to the ship quickly, and there hadn't been room left on the hover cart for Skelly to ride. The walk had been hard on him, and Hera and Zeluna had supported him part of the way. They'd been the last crew to make it back, just barely avoiding notice. Skelly looked up, his face twisted in pain.
I still think... we should have killed him.
Kanan shook his head. He wasn't going to explain it again. He pushed Skelly upright in his seat and strapped on an oxygen mask.
Trust me, everybody. This'll work.
It doesn't,
Skelly said between breaths.
We need to warn Gorth.
What's the point? Kanan asked, shuttling forward. The Empire's declared full ground stop on Gorth. Nobody can take off.
There are tunnels, Skelly said. And bomb shelters.
Hera tells me they make fine homes, Kanan said, settling into the passenger seat beside her. Let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Zeluna looked forward as the engines revved.
You need to talk to everyone on the planet at once.
Kanan looked back at her.
You got something?
She shook her head.
It's nothing.
She slumped back in her seat, weary.
We've done too much already.
Hera turned to face Zeluna.
Come on, Zal. You have a way to help, don't you?
Zeluna let out a deep breath.
Oh, I think there's a way,
she finally said.
But I can't do it with this ship's transmitter. I need something built in the last 1,000 years.
Hey, I'm sure there was a refit a century ago,
Kanan said, looking up at the bulkhead. He wasn't about to get defensive about expedient, no matter how much he and the ship had been through. He looked at Hera.
How about your lovely ride?
It's got everything,
she said, pulling back on the control yoke. Expedient heaved off the deck.
My ship should be up to date for whatever you need. If we can land on Gorse and get to it.
We'll be shot at on the way down and up again.
Up, I'm not worried about,
she smiled.
I have got to see this ship,
Kanan thought again, as Expedient turned in midair.
What have you got in mind, Zeluna?
I still have Vidian's passcode from earlier. If we can send a signal mimicking an Imperial override request, we can push out an emergency message onto every electronic system on Gorse that Transept is spying on.
She looked at Kanan with trepidation.
We'd only be able to do it once, ever. They'd close the door immediately.
One message, then. It'll have to be enough,
Hera said, guiding the ship through the magnetic field into space.
We'd have to get there and do it before he changes the passcode.
If he doesn't realize we did anything, Kanan said, then he won't.
He gestured forward. Traffic was moving along outside the station, and he could see the TIE fighters routinely flying past.
See? Nobody's shooting us out of the sky.
That's just because your new friend hasn't called out the heavy artillery yet,
Hera said. And as she did, Expedient shuddered violently. Zelluna yelped. Kanan and Hera glanced warily at each other.
Just the parking tractor beam guiding us out, Kanan finally said, nodding forward.
The ship was turning, making progress toward the perimeter. Hera took a deep breath and let out a whistle.
We'd better hope this thing lets go of us before the stasis beam lets go of Sloan.
I'm telling you not to worry,
Kanan said, leaning back and stretching his legs.
None of this is necessary. Vidian is done for. Sloan is sold.
My lord! My lord!
Count Vidian roused. Awareness was always returned quickly to him after sleep, medically induced or otherwise. His eyes activated a second after his ears did, and he saw the fraught face of the Star Destroyer captain leaning over him.
Sloan, what's going on?
She yanked at the straps binding him to the operating table.
You were unconscious,
she said, straining to remove one of the Durasteel cuffs binding his wrists.
Are you all right?
I believe so.
Whispering a command, he cycled back through everything his eyes had recorded in the last several hours. There was nothing there from the time he was under. Not even any of the feedback his nightmares had been producing lately. And neither had his senses recorded anything from the hour before, during the battle with the pilot and his companions. A glitch caused by damage in the fight? The servos in his hips activated, and he sat up on the table. He looked around at the mess of his living space.
Someone drugged me!
There were intruders here,
Sloan said, moving to work on the cops holding his ankles.
They attacked me, too, when I entered. They trapped me in your stasis beam. Then they left.
Vidian looked around.
Through the floor?
Sloan nodded.
It was dark. I couldn't see much. What did they want?
Me.
Vidian leaned down and ripped at the ankle cuffs with his metal hands. The manacles were designed to withstand his thrashings, and yet they couldn't survive against his rising anger.
I want a full search. Lock the station down.
He opened a channel on his internal comlink and prepared to give the command. Sloan spoke before he could.
My lord, one of them talked to me.
Her dark eyes were full of concern.
He claimed to be an agent of the Emperor.
What?
Vidian closed the audio channel and stared at her.
Who?
One of the people who waylaid me.
An agent of the Emperor?
Vidian rose from the table and stood, turning his back to the captain.
What did he say?
A lot of nonsense. He claimed you were acting against the Emperor's interests in the Gauss Project. That your plan was to destroy the moon and its thorolite, regardless of the yield.
Vidian froze. Cautiously, he turned to face her.
Most amusing. Pray tell, what reason did this mystic give for my doing such a thing?
It was since this ranting, Count Vidian. I didn't listen.
Perhaps he thinks I'm some kind of traitor. Some kind of plant in the hierarchy.
Sloan laughed.
No, I think he wasn't sane.
She looked at him.
Have you called for security already? Or should I?
I'm doing so now,
Vidian said. But directing his eyes to check the station's surveillance reports, he found precious little for his staff to go on. Nothing unusual had been seen aboard Calcaron Depot in the last few hours. He'd recognized the gunslinger from Cinda, and he'd remembered Skelly. But all the workers aboard were in hazmat masks, and the ships had already departed. Even a check of the data feeds from his medical droids in the room confirmed that their memories had been wiped.
The infiltrators were good, whoever they were.
Reports from the TIE sentries on the system perimeter confirmed that all the ships had gone to hyperspace on the same heading, towards Cinda, as ordered. If his assailants weren't still aboard the depot, there was only one other place for them. Vidian thought quickly about his next move. He wasn't sure who his attackers were, but neither was he sure what they would say if found. All that mattered was making sure nothing interfered with the destruction of Cinda. And he had a way to do that.
Ultimatum will arrive in the Gore system before the last of the Viridium haulers.
A little startled by the change of topic, Sloan nodded.
They haven't built the freighter that can outrun a Star Destroyer.
Good. I want your whole complement of fighters deployed, managing the final delivery. Bring in additional TIE fighters from here, using Gozanti freighter carriers. If any hauler moves a centimeter out of line, I want that ship destroyed, cargo and all, regardless of any danger to the pilot doing the shooting. Is that understood?
They'll do their duty for me.
Sloan looked at him searchingly.
You think the intruders are headed for Gorse?
It pays to be ready.
Vidian walked across the room to a fallen cabinet. Writing it, he thought about his other problem. He highly doubted the gunslinger was an agent of the Emperor. While Palpatine was fond of testing his underling's devotion, he was never as clumsy as this. But neither could he see a bunch of amateurs successfully boarding his station, simply looking for revenge for Lal Grolic's death. What Vidian could easily see, however, was the pilot and his friends being part of some plot by one of his many rivals. And that meant he had to be cautious. He had no idea what the pilot had said to Sloane, but he had to be certain of her loyalty and his eventual success.
I appreciate you freeing me, Sloane. This could have been embarrassing.
She shrugged.
My duty is to you, sir.
Then I will do mine to you.
He paused for several seconds before speaking aloud again.
I have just sent a verbal instruction to the staff at my offices at Corellia. In a few days, Captain Carlson will be receiving a very lucrative offer to join the private sector.
Surprised, Sloane put up her hand in protest.
Sir, I wasn't expecting...
At that time, ultimatum is yours to keep.
The news appeared to take her breath away.
Good, Vidian thought.
Return with ultimatum as planned while I finish the preparations aboard the collection ship. Once the moon is destroyed and Forager begins to do its job, the Emperor will see the return, and our work together will be vindicated.
Together, my lord?
You'll have the credit you deserve for helping to make this happen so quickly. I might even request you and Ultimatum be permanently detached to me.
He eyed her.
Who is the youngest admiral, I wonder?
Chapter 47. There wasn't always much to do when a ship was in hyperspace, the intradimensional realm between stars. There was even less when flying Expedient, a ship with no galley or living quarters. Worse, the cockpit area offered no privacy at all. Skelly was snoring away on his seats, and Zaluna, unshakable for so long, had taken to nervously fidgeting around with the contents of her magic bag. Well, even the strongest had their limits. Especially when death was coming for their homeworld. The only getaway existed in the far rear of the ship, down one of the branching aisles of the cargo hold. And there, at the far end, standing amid the shelves of secured Baradium 357 canisters, waited the person he wanted to see.
Cozy back here, Kanan said. We could send out for flatcakes.
Very funny.
Hera held the smile for only a moment. She looked tired.
We need to talk.
My pleasure.
Kanan found a spot at the end of the aisle with no canisters on either side, creating two makeshift seats on opposing lower shelves.
I fixed the ID transponder, like you asked. It'll say we're a different ship than landed on Kalkaram Depot, in case they finally figured out we were the ones that messed with Vidian.
Hera still wore the same worried expression he saw.
I'm guessing you have a different problem?
Kanan asked.
It's Skelly,
she said in a low voice, nodding in the direction of the cockpit.
I think he's in trouble.
He's always in trouble.
I think he's dying, she said. The joking around is a cover. He's in bad shape.
Kanan inhaled deeply and nodded. He'd seen the same thing.
Vidian did a number on him. Broken bones, internal bleeding.
He shook his head.
I caught a look at the readings that medical droid took off him. It wanted to open him up right then and there.
We need to get him to a med center,
Hera said.
He's navigating on force of will alone.
He's got plenty of that. But where can we take him? We're about to tell everyone on Gorse to run for their lives.
Hera sighed.
You're right. They come first. He's just going to have to hang on.
She looked toward the small viewport to her left, at the end of the aisle. Stars streaked by. Kanan thought she looked striking even now, facing likely defeat.
This isn't what you came to Gorse for, was it?
She chuckled darkly.
Not even close. I've been talking to people who have grievances against the Empire, but only to find out the scope of what's out there, what's possible. I wasn't expecting to do anything against it. Not yet, anyway. Not for a long time.
That's the problem with people, Kanan said. They never need help on your schedule. Only theirs.
She nodded. Then she looked back at him. After studying him for a moment, she spoke.
Where are you from, Kanan?
Around, he said. You?
Same.
Fair enough.
She smiled gently.
That's not what I really wanted to ask anyway.
Kanan smirked.
Fire away then.
Why are you doing this?
I'm sitting with you. Wouldn't miss it.
No, I mean this. Flying around fugitives and trying to take down Vidian. I know why Skelly and I are doing this, she said. Even Zaluna. But not you.
He shrugged. I love a party.
Seriously.
He scratched his beard.
You were there. You saw what happened to Okadiah and all the others.
And that's awful. But by your own admission, you move around. You were about to leave Gorse forever when I found you. So while I appreciate your being here, I wonder if there's something else going on.
She eyed him.
I mean, you're not here for the politics.
He laughed.
Definitely not.
She smiled.
Yeah, you don't strike me as a victim of oppression.
Kanan's grin melted a little on hearing her words, and he looked away.
You never know,
he muttered.
Appearances can be deceiving.
What?
Feeling her eyes on him, he faced her again and smiled.
Nothing. Hey, it's like I said at the start. I'm just going where you're going.
Hera's nose wrinkled.
Hmm,
she said after a moment.
Hmm, what?
I think I liked your first answer better.
Zaluna stood before the onrushing stars.
It was an amazing spectacle, something she had never expected to see.
Her salary wasn't enough to take her far, and besides, she had nowhere to go. Her office was her universe. And now that Skelly was snoozing, and Kanan and Hera were gone somewhere in the back, this was her last chance to get it back. Her last chance to change her mind. She'd completely ruined her life in the last few days.
She'd only wanted to fulfill Heto's parting wish. Not go running around the galaxy like some kind of secret agent. Infiltrating an Imperial depot? Tampering not just with the computers of an important official, but with his very body? Who was that person? It certainly wasn't the woman she'd imagined she was. But here, she had an opportunity to undo everything. She'd seen the big red light on the forward control panel earlier. It had signaled when the vessel was about to exit hyperspace. Dark now, it sat adjacent to the comm system. And that was something Zelluna knew how to use. And she could use it, right as they re-entered real space, to contact the Empire and get off this ride. They might still believe her. She could say she was kidnapped, forced to help the would-be radicals. Skelly and Kanan were violent characters who'd attacked Imperial agents. Hera was the mastermind, trying to lure her into betraying the Empire. Zelluna was innocent, a pawn, a foolish woman with nothing but good intentions. She could say she was trying to entrap the agitators when she got trapped herself. They'd taken her into danger. She didn't owe them anything. And the moon might still be saved. If Vidian was doing something he shouldn't, the Empire would stop him. Wouldn't it? And how was any of it her business anyway? Maybe the deadly predictions of what might happen were wrong. Who was she to second-guess decisions made from so far on high? It would be an irrational Empire indeed that would ignore its people's best interests. Only, the Empire had done exactly that many times that she had seen. And its minions had never listened to anyone's defense before. They only listened to what people said about the Empire. Zelluna knew firsthand, having been the state's ears and eyes on Gorse and Cinda for years. She'd heard, but never comprehended. She watched, but never saw. And now that was changing. The others had started her thinking. Hera had listened patiently to Zelluna's concerns several times during their journey, and each time had spoken frankly and firmly. Fear was understandable and forgivable, and no one expected Zelluna to do more than she was capable of. But seeing and doing nothing isn't the worst thing, Hera had said. The worst thing is to see and not to care. Zelluna had seen Imperial minions do many things, bad things, that Transept's watchers were ordered to look the other way on. She'd done as commanded, but it had never made sense. Wasn't being a watchperson her job? What good was being a witness if the laws could be changed at whim by the lawgivers? Then there was Skelly. He was troubled for sure, but she'd come to understand that he truly was interested in protecting Cinda and Gorse. The Empire cared little for those damaged by the Clone Wars, and even less for people who had qualms about its industrial activities. She could tell that for Skelly, the impending destruction of the moon was like watching death approaching for someone close to him. And finally, there was Kanan, who seemed to go from disaster to disaster as if he were wandering from one cantina to another. Nothing seemed to touch him. Yet she knew that wasn't true. Yes, he played the roustabout, working a dangerous job and pushing back against those who pushed him. But that day with Okadiah was not the first time she'd seen him come to someone's defense. They were always small acts. Often the person helped hadn't known he'd done anything. He seemed to want it that way for some reason. She could also tell he was tired of living the way he had been. Tired of going from one pointless job to another, looking for a place where he could live his life his own way. She'd seen the look 100 times on the faces of other migrant workers, and the Empire had made it into a perpetual state for many. Kanan was young, but his secret soul was much older. and Zelluna knew the Empire was somehow responsible. But Zelluna had the right to a life of her choosing, too. And time was running out. The red light on the nav computer flashed. A buzzer, half broken and barely audible, sounded. Her eyes went to the comm system controls. It would be so easy. "Your only value to the Empire is what you can do for it," said a voice from behind. Unsurprised at hearing Hera, Zelluna turned over her words in her mind.
"You know," she said calmly, "Heto used to say that exact thing."
He was right.
Zelluna saw Hera's reflection in the viewport, against the streaming stars. She was motionless behind her, not approaching.
"Aren't you afraid?"
Zelluna asked.
"Anyone would be. But the Jedi had a saying about fear. It leads ultimately to suffering."
Hera paused.
"Someone has to break the chain."
"People can't talk about the Jedi anymore."
"Maybe they should."
Zelluna nodded and looked back at the control panel.
"It was better then."
She felt her strength reviving. She was more than an extra set of eyes and ears to a sadistic cyborg and to a faraway emperor. She was no revolutionary, but she could at least try to stop them now. Zelluna moved her hand to the nav computer and shut off the buzzer.
"I was just coming to get you,"
she said. Turning to Hera, she smiled.
"We're here."
Chapter 48. Kanan thought it sounded foolish to say aloud, but leaving hyperspace was just like entering it, except in reverse. The stars through the forward viewport went from blurred lines back to twinkling dots. Only this time, few could be seen from Expedient's cockpit. Cinda hung above, a brilliant crescent from their angle, while Massive Gore sat up ahead, its cities in their eternal night. And there was something else. More TIE fighters than he had ever seen. Swarms lay ahead, peeling off in quarters as Expedient entered the area.
"Vector right 75 degrees, down axis 20,
snapped a voice over the comm system.
"Follow the formation if you want to live."
Kanan flinched. This was normally when he'd give the Imperials some lip. But he wasn't flying, and it wasn't smart. Not now. Hera complied, banking the vessel and bringing it into line with a queue of ships far ahead. Each freighter had a pair of TIEs either above and below it or on either side, defining a corridor. Kanan could tell from the sensors that two flanked Expedient on the port and starboard sides. Ahead, the sky went black for a moment as the hexagonal wing of another TIE zipped past their field of view.
"They're crisscrossing," Kanan said, "keeping us all separated."
Hera frowned.
"They're limiting the damage a saboteur can do. They're afraid there's another Skelly out there."
"They'd be right,"
called Skelly from behind. Holding his midsection, Skelly hobbled toward the front of the cockpit. He reached for the side of Kanan's seat and missed. Zelluna hopped from her seat and grabbed onto him. Skelly seemed almost unaware of the woman steadying him. His eyes were locked on the outside.
"Somebody means business."
Expedient followed the convoy across the Terminator, dividing Sindon night from day. There they saw it, sitting off in space. The gang boss to their work crew. Zelluna gasped at the sight.
"Another Star Destroyer."
"No, the same one," Hera said.
Kanan nodded. It was one of the more unnerving consequences when ships of differing speeds used hyperspace. Ultimatum had been in their rearview cam, parked at Calcaron Depot when they'd gone to lightspeed. Now, it was sitting in front of them, over Gorse, disgorging even more TIE fighters. Hera looked in unsettled wonder.
The These ties can't all be from the Star Destroyer. Imperial class has 60, maybe 70.
Kanan pointed out other vessels orbiting off Cinda's horizon. Long and bulky, like the Thorlide cargo craft, the ships had docking ports for 4 TIE fighters each.
Looks like the Empire's refitting Gozanti freighters these days.
And they beat us here, too. Hera was as aggravated as he'd seen her. She was clearly used to flying a faster ship. We're lucky they didn't have time for shore leave.
She looked at the scanner and raised her hands in frustration.
I don't know that we can get to Gorse at all through this blockade.
I thought you were good, Kanan said.
Not that good. Not in this thing.
The TIEs led the convoy on a long, decent path, several hundred kilometers off the surface of Cinda. Hera rolled expedient 180 degrees so the ground could be seen from the cockpit.
Construction work ahead, Kanan said.
He flipped a switch, triggering the viewport's magnifying overlay.
Skelly staggered forward and half collapsed against the forward panel between Hera and Kanan.
Arms splayed forward across it for support. He gawked at what he saw.
We're too late, Skelly said, staring at a large metal tower on the surface over their heads.
What? What are those? Kanan asked.
He could see at least 6 others spaced seemingly randomly across the moon's surface.
Injection sites. They're pumping in xenoboric acid, punching holes deep into the mantle. They'll run the baradium charges down on suprafilament next.
Skelly looked from tower to tower.
Down below, Cinda's got flaws, just like a diamond. They'll set off the charges in a precise order, seconds apart. The primaries will cleave it. The secondaries will crush it. The tertiaries will disperse it.
Kanan stared at him.
How do you know all this?
It's my idea. I did it as a thought experiment, just to prove my point. It was on the holodisk.
He sighed and sagged to the floor.
Why do I always have to be right?
Hera studied the workers on the surface.
They're in a real hurry, Hera said.
Vidian's in the hurry, Kanan said. He's got to destroy the moon before the Emperor gets wise to what he's doing here. He smirked. And that's who's missing. Him and his big collector ship. I told you. You just had to trust.
Attention, newly arrived freighters,
said a familiar voice over the comm system.
This is Captain Sloan of Ultimatum. I have important information about a change in plans.
Kanan smiled at the others and gave a thumbs-up signal.
This is it.
The accident earlier this week left the moon's mines dangerously unstable,
Sloan said over the comm system.
Imperial scientists have determined the only way to prevent future disasters is to release all the stresses that have built up. Now, with no one in the mines. By doing so, we assure safe mining can continue in the name of the Empire.
Yeah, that Empire's really looking out for them, Skelly said. They're talking our own people into committing suicide!
Ugh. You will be guided to the sites on the Sindin surface, where you will offload and leave immediately,
the captain continued.
Kanan frowned. Wait a minute. That wasn't what she was supposed to say. She was supposed to say Vidian's a goner and send us all home.
That doesn't sound like a woman who just squealed to the Emperor, Hera said.
Kanan stared at the comm system.
No, it doesn't.
He shook his head. The hyperspace anomaly alarm flashed blue and squawked loudly. Ahead, Vidian's gigantic Thorlide harvester vessel appeared in the only free patch of space available.
Welcome, Forager,
Sloan said over the comm system.
The final freighters are here, and the last charges will be injected in 40 minutes. You should receive a data hookup with detonation control down there in 1 hour.
Excellent work, Captain Sloan,
they heard Vidian say.
You'll make a fine admiral one day.
Kanan looked at Hera.
This is making me sick. They're on a date.
Jealous?
Blast it! I thought she'd listen.
He pounded his fist on the dashboard.
That's the Imperial way, all right. They're always stabbing their friends in the back.
Sloan spoke again over the device, sounding more concerned.
Count Vidian, time will be of the essence. Lieutenant Deltic's staff says you will have 1 hour from the detonation control link-up to trigger the process.
I won't need that much time,
Vidian responded dryly.
I've been ready, and Forager will be ready.
To collect the Thorali after he's blown most of it up, along with the moon,
Skelly muttered as the transmission ended.
Senseless.
He turned around on the floor and slumped with his back against the cockpit control panels. He dabbed his nose with his hand. There was blood there.
Just drop me off anywhere. Maybe I can die on Cinder before they blow it up.
Hera looked at Skelly for a moment, and then back outside. Her eyes focused on something ahead.
Skelly, why did she say there was a time limit to detonating the explosives they're planting in the moon?
Skelly rubbed the side of his head, his eyes closed.
It's the xenoboric acid they're injecting. Way too long and any of the junk that's left down there will eat its way through the baradium drop cables and containers. No boom, then.
Hera looked at Kanan. He caught the drift.
You said there was a chain reaction here? That some of those towers were primaries?
Skelly sniffed, eyes opening.
Yeah, four of them.
Which four?
Kanan asked.
I'm trying to remember. I'd have to look.
Skelly tried to get to his feet, but only fell back down on his rump. Zaluna sprang again from her seat and helped him stand, bracing herself between the two forward chairs. Skelly looked ahead and squinted at Cinda's bright surface.
Will killing the tower stop the reaction?
Kanan asked him.
Yeah, but those are our people down there working those sites and flying cargo to them.
I know.
Kanan reached down for his headset and put it on.
That's only patched into local comm traffic, Hera said. We can't send Zaluna's warning on it.
Kanan ignored her and worked the latch on the panel in front of his knees. A door swung open, and he pulled at what was inside. Reluctant hinges cracked and groaned. With effort, Kanan craned a targeting system with handles up toward his chest.
Do I want to know what he's doing?
Zaluna asked. Hera stared at him in puzzlement.
I'm not sure I know myself.
The meteor chaser,
Kanan said, waving to the ceiling. The single cannon perched above the crew compartment had a field of fire that covered a wide arc on either side and ahead of Expedient.
Every baby carrier has one. Baby doesn't like being bumped.
Neither do I,
Skelly said, looking nervously at him.
You can't expect to fight off the Imperials with that.
Not more than a few,
Kanan said, testing his microphone.
But if I do it right, a few's enough.
Chapter 49. The command center of the collection ship looked like a cathedral for some ancient religion. Vidian's comm station in the middle of the room resembled an altar. Idle comparisons, both, but the reality was not lost on Vidian. From here, he would sacrifice the moon to his emperor, winning his favor for another year, and the ashes of the world would smother his rival once and for all. Intentionally or not, the collection ship's designers had built a supernatural feel into Forager's Bridge. Situated frontward on the foremost sphere on the ship's linked series of pods, the huge round room looked ahead through tall windows that rose and curved to a ceiling 20 meters above. More consoles like Vidian's circled him, like miniature megaliths, in a place for idol worshiper rites. The catwalk, two stories up, ran around the front arc of the room, providing additional workstations between the windows for Vidian's droids and cybernetically enhanced assistants. He could see the metallic figures moving back and forth on the decking, digital priests backlit by the shining moon.
"Spooks deployed, my lord,"
one of them said.
"We are ready for the collection process to begin."
Vidian nodded. It was up to Sloane and her people now. Switching his visual feed from cam to remote cam, he looked approvingly on the Cinder work sites. Sloane had done a remarkable job, throwing ultimatums thousands of staffers at a project that, days before, had been a fantasy on a holodisk from a deranged assassin. Now they were 30 minutes away from doing something that still existed only at the outer edges of Imperial capability. The destruction of a moon. And perhaps the world below. It had been critical to get Sloane's cooperation early on. Any extra time, any deliberation, would have brought the Emperor's Corps of Engineers into the picture. And they would have questioned the yield from the test blast. Vidian could use Tharsa's name to falsify a report and defraud an ambitious captain, but more would be difficult, and this couldn't wait. As Vidian cycled his messages before his eyes, he saw not just more from the nuisance Danth, but several from the Emperor's inner circle. All were almost comically urgent, suggesting that if Vidian didn't deliver Thorlide in record amounts instantly, the entire Imperial fleet would have to be mothballed. The Baron had really gone to work on the Emperor's people. Well, he would finish it soon enough. He would deliver Thorlide beyond anyone's fantasies, and then stick the grinning Danth with a ticking bomb. One of Vidian's cybernetic aides stepped forward.
"Something's coming in, Master. On the Mining Guild channel."
"Eh?"
Vidian whispered commands until the sound reached him.
"Don't know what's going on. Feeling so weird. These blasted baby canisters, some of them started leaking. These fumes."
"What's this nonsense?"
Vidian said aloud.
"Don't know how it happened. Faulty loading, faulty material, faulty something. Just like everything in this wretched job. I've hated it all, you know."
The voice went from woozy to bitter.
"And I've hated all of you!"
"It's one coming from one of the freighters,"
Vidian's aide volunteered.
"The coolant lining the Beridium 357 canisters has been known to cause psychotic episodes if it gets..."
"Yeah, you know me,"
the broadcaster interrupted, sounding angrier by the word.
"You know my voice! I put up with all of you, for Okadiah's sake. In the mines, on the hover bus, in the bar. A lot of bums, all of you! Think you're such tough guys? You make me sick!"
Vidian seethed as he recognized the voice. The Gunslinger.
"Zero in on that transmission. Find him!"
The speaker was raging now.
"Filthy, stinking miners! I can see your ID transponders. I know who you are. Think you're hot stuff? Hauling bombs? Let's see how hot I can make it!"
Vidian toggled his comlink mode.
"Now hear this. This is Count Vidian. Disregard these transmissions and finish your deliveries. You just heard the ravings of a crazy man, a provocateur."
The pilot boomed in response.
"I'm crazy? I'm crazy? Fine. I don't care about your stinking starfighters, Empire man. I'm telling everyone, if you see me coming, run, because I'm going to blow every ship I see out of the sky, starting with the miners."
A horrific squawk erupted from Expedient's comm system. Imperial jamming on the guild channel. Hera looked at Kanan stupefied.
"I thought you were going to warn them about the moon."
"They wouldn't have believed it. I barely believe it. Right now they're only afraid of the TIE fighters. but they're about to become more afraid of me.
Kanan flashed her a wild look. I need you to fly like a Wookiee whose hair is on fire, and who thinks everybody lit the match. Can you do that? She seemed to get the idea, if reluctantly.
Got it.
He pointed at the TIE fighter beginning its intersecting run across the convoy corridor.
Dive when I signal.
The Imperial starfighter whisked into their field of view, its wings resolving into a fat hexagonal target. Kanan used it as exactly that, pulling the trigger on his gunnery controls.
Hera, now!
Orange fire ripped from the weapons turret positioned over and behind their heads, tearing dead center into the wing of the TIE fighter passing before them. Hera slammed the control yoke forward and hit the throttle, causing Expedient to dive. The TIE exploded into a blaze of bright flame above. But now Cinda was all they could see, its icy surface filling the viewport. Zaluna lost her hold on the side of Kanan's seat and fell forward, mashing Skelly against the forward control panel. He called out in pain. Hang on. Hera brought Expedient into a roll, bringing one of the two Imperial fighters that had been flanking them into Kanan's sights. He fired again. Hera didn't wait to see the result, moving once more to bring the ship lower. Cinda's gravity began to take hold. Zaluna tried to help Skelly up.
I'm so sorry, she said. I'm not used to this.
Who is?
Weakly, trying to fend off her attempts to stand him up, he appealed to the air.
Please, just let me go sit down.
We need you here,
Kanan said, struggling to find their other flanker on his scope. The TIE was shooting at them. He could see the flash of energized particles to his right.
Where is this guy?
Right
here, Hera said, slamming on the braking jets. The glowing iconic thrusters of the third TIE appeared in the space before them. Kanan swung his targeting mechanism and hit the trigger. Hera pumped her fist as the starfighter blew itself apart. Kanan glanced at Skelly, looking rocky as Zaluna held him up. Skelly outweighed the woman, but she was doing her best to keep him in place. Kanan implored him.
Come on, Skelly! We're there! Focus!
Skelly squinted at the surface as Hera descended. There was a tower on the far horizon, nothing more than a needle on an ocean of white. A cluster of ships could be seen heading for the area.
That way!
The alert clarion sounded on the bridge of Ultimatum.
Scramble wings 14, 15, 17, Sloan said. Pursue freighter, hereafter tagged Renegade 1. Take them down!
The captain stood by the holographic tracking display and watched the action with bewilderment. She ordered the Star Destroyer to remain on its station, overseeing the convoy route and protecting Forager. But what was going on over the surface of Cinda defied belief. And it had all started with that bizarre message from Kanan.
Renegade 1 is pursuing the other Viridium haulers, said a fresh-faced ensign.
Young Collie had been trying his best to track the zigzagging Renegade, but nothing it did made any sense.
They're trying to destroy the freighters?
No, Captain, just the TIE fighters accompanying them. The freighters should be easier targets, but it's just... well...
The headset-wearing ensign gawked at his monitor. Sloane stepped behind him to watch the chase. The runaway was peeling away the escorts of the fully laden cargo ships, and then seemingly shooting to miss, aiming just in front of the vessels.
Harassing fire, she said.
Kanan, pilot, insurrectionist, would-be Imperial agent? Whatever he was definitely aboard that ship, and trying to prevent the others from landing their cargo. His threatening message had set the stage for chaos.
Method to the madness. He's scaring them away.
And doing a good job of it, Ensign Collie said.
He pointed to the screen.
He gets anywhere near a freighter and they try to peel off.
Sloane looked back at the holographic tracking display. One by one, Viridium freighters were switching off their ID transponders, fearful of having Kanan come after them. It was only adding to the confusion.
Has everybody on Gorse tangled with this character?
Kali tapped his earpiece.
I've got a TIE pilot chasing after the hauler he's escorting now. It's fleeing, afraid of being targeted by Renegade One. Our pilot's asking if he can shoot his hauler down.
What? No!